Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your great love. Thank you for reaching down, for coming down to save us. And thank you, Lord, once again for the relationship that we have with you, a loving, secure, joy-filled relationship. Thank you. And Lord, we thank you for your word, and we pray that you would open your word to our hearts right now, and that your Holy Spirit would speak, and just those things that we need to hear, Lord. What do you want to do in our hearts tonight? We want you to do those, and we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So here we are in the month of February, and as you know, it's been a long celebrated month of romance and love, and it can be a great month, and February 14th can be a great day for lots of people, and then for some of us, it's not a fun day at all, because there's no roses, there's no candy, there's no little pink card or whatever. But you know, the Lord, he created us with a need for love. We all need to be loved, and we need to be encouraged, and we need to be affirmed. It's who we are, it's our nature that we need this. But we were born into a very sin-filled world. And too many people were born into families with a lack of love, or a misdirected love, improper love, a selfish love. And because of that, there's all kinds of problems, even with people who were born into a very loving home. Because we have a sin nature, we have all kinds of problems. And with this whole love issue, we can develop hardened exteriors, because we don't need that from anybody kind of thing. We can develop insecurities because we crave love so much that we're insecure and we don't trust. People look for love in all the wrong places, reach out in ways that they shouldn't to try to gain that love. And it's just, it's a sad, sad world that we live in. There's lots of different kinds of love. There is infatuation, if you remember back to your grade school or junior high, and where, I don't know how many of you remember Davy Jones of the Monkees, where you're just infatuated. You know, you have his picture on the wall, and there's the puppy love, there is self-centered, selfish love, there's conditional love, there is sacrificial love, all kinds of love. There is different degrees of love. We love chocolate, and we love our husband. Two entirely different kinds of love, different degrees of love. We could have a love for clothes, shoes, jewelry, whatever your love might be. Love for animals, love for people. But those loves, and the love for husband and children, just various degrees of love. Now, most of us are familiar with the four types of love that we talk about, and they all are from Greek words. The first one is eros, which we get our English word erotic from. It's a physical or a passionate love. Everybody experiences this kind of love. We all love in different ways. So it's an attraction love. It's not necessarily sexual or sensual, but it does stir something, some kind of emotion up within us. It's the kind of love that is best expressed in marriage. Now, the Bible doesn't use the word eros, but it sure refers to it, especially in the book of Song of Solomon, where it's talking about that marital love. There is, the next kind of love is storge, And it is an affection or a natural affection that a mother would have for her child, that a child would have for the parent, the sister, the brother. It's that family love that just naturally comes forth because you've come from my body, your flesh and blood, and I love you with storge love. It is used two times in the Bible, but in a negative sense. So the letter A is before it, a storge, which means without natural affection. It talks about it in Romans chapter 1 and in 2 Timothy 3. And the word used there is unloving. In the last days, people will be unloving or without natural affection. That third love is phileo. We're all familiar with that one. It is a mental or an emotional love, a brotherly love. It's a love that has give and take. It's, you know, it's both ways. It's a friendship love. And the more we have in common or the more things we go through together, the stronger that phileo love will become. And then there is agape love. And that is an unconditional love. And this love continues to love and to give whether love is returned or not. There is no self-benefit in this kind of love, in agape love whatsoever. Whereas eros is, I love you because you excite me, or this ice cream excites me, or chocolate, or whatever. I can have that eros love, but it's more of a selfish love. Or that storge love, I love you because you're a part of me. You're my family. You're my flesh and blood. You're my little girl, my little boy. You're my husband. You know, it's still because it has to do with self. That phileo love too. I love you because you love me and we share this thing in common. But that agape love is, I love you anyway, no matter what. That's agape love, and that's the kind of love that we crave, that we need. The world craves it. They need it. We have it in Jesus Christ. We have it in our loving Heavenly Father. Agape is the kind of love that we need and we crave. It's the love to be loved and accepted no matter what. There's not a person in this room who does not want to be loved and accepted no matter what. It's to be loved when we have good days and when we have bad days. Now, when we have good days, why wouldn't someone want to love me when I'm so lovable? But when I have bad days or in a mood and I'm not very lovable, that agape reaches down and loves me anyway. And how I want that and I need that to be loved when I am unlovable, which is most of the time. There's only one, as we know, who loves that way, and that is our Heavenly Father. And if, and it's a little dark in here, but if you can see, you can turn to 1 John. Chapter 4. Beginning in verse 8, at the end, for God is love. In this, the love of God was manifested toward us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. God is love. That is who he is. And he doesn't change, so he continues to love. He is love, and he loves all the time. flip over to Romans chapter 5. Romans 5, verse 5. Now hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. For when we were still without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet perhaps for a good man someone would even dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. I love that verse. And it's not that God demonstrated, but he demonstrates. It's a continual thing to look at the cross and you see the love of God. You see our Heavenly Father who continually demonstrates his love for us in the giving of his Son. He loves and he gave. He loved and he gave. And he loved and he gave. And there is no greater love than that. The love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. We have that need. We crave that love. And we have received it. He has given it to us. And nothing changes that. Nothing changes that. Jesus said in John 15:13, greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. And he did. Jesus did. There's no greater way to express love than to give your life for that person. And here, the Father who loves the Son sent his Son, and then the Son, because of the love of the Father and the love for people, he gave his life. Jesus also said in John 15:9, as the Father has loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. I used to have that verse as a license plate, personalized license plate, because that just stuns me. As the Father has loved me, Jesus said. Now you think about that. You think about God the Father and the love that he has for his only begotten Son. How great that love is. And that's the same degree of love that then Jesus loves us with. That just blows your mind. Absolutely, because as we just read in Romans, when we were without strength, when we were sinners, when we were shaking our fist at him, turning our back to him, blaspheming him, he loves. He reached down and he loved and he gave his life. And Jesus said, abide in my love. I love that. That means settle down and be secure in my love. Are you? I hope so. I hope you never, ever, ever doubt the love of God. We doubt people's love because people's love changes. It changes. Some people's love, and if we grew up in a home, that it can be warped. It can be manipulative. It can be one way on this day, and on this day, it can be an entirely different way. So we doubt. But God's love never, ever changes. It is who he is and what he has said to us. And we just need to say, okay, you love me no matter what. Yes, I'm fleshly. Yes, I fly off the handle, or yes, I do whatever I do. And you love me anyway. Agape love loves anyway. Don't doubt it. Don't ever, ever, ever doubt the love of God. I love that one song that we sing. What kind of love is this? I just love thinking about that. What kind of love is this? Because sometimes you read the Gospels and you read about the Lord and you're just like, what kind of love is this? How can you love me? But what kind of love is this? I'm just going to read you these lyrics, the first verse. What kind of love is this that climbs the hill, that bears the cross, that takes the nails? What kind of love is this that takes my place, that gives his life and clears my name? Oh, I want to know, what kind of love is this? It's wonderful. It's glorious. It's full of grace, and it's full of mercy, and it's powerful, and it's marvelous. That's what this love is. That's what God's love is. I love that. I love that. That's his love for you tonight and every night and every day. God's love is described in so many ways in the Bible. Jeremiah, it's everlasting. God spoke through Jeremiah and said, yes, I have loved you with an everlasting love, and therefore with loving kindness I have drawn you. Everlasting. It has no beginning and no end. It has no limits, and it cannot be measured. No limits. It's everlasting. And then from 1 Corinthians 13, that love chapter, and that word, when it love is, and it goes on, love is patient and kind and all that, it's agape. It's God's love. It's Jesus. It's patient. His love toward you. Though wronged, it doesn't retaliate. It waits, and it does not lose hope. God's love is so patient. Patient. Kind. It's never rude or hurtful. Always gracious and compassionate. That's what this love is. That's God's love toward you. Kind, sacrificial. He doesn't count the cost. He just gives. He sacrifices. He gives. It is unselfish. His love puts you first without expecting anything in return. Where do you get that kind of love? Anywhere else. Even the best of us kind of expect something. Something, not the Lord. He just goes ahead and he gives unselfishly. It is not provoked. His love is not moody or conditional. It is the same every single day. He's forgiving. His love is forgiving. It keeps no record of being wronged, but throws kindness over a multitude of slights, insults, and wrongs. He just keeps on loving. It never rejoices in your failure. It always repays every discourtesy with kindness. He loves and he loves and he loves. Love bears all things. He never throws the towel in and says, that's enough, I give up. Never, ever. His love bears all things. Love believes all things. It gives the benefit of the doubt. That's what God's love is. This and so much more toward you every single day. And yes, this love is powerful. It is powerful. This love changes lives. It changed my life. It's changed your life. And it continually changes our lives. His love pulls us out of the pit, of depression, out of the pit of despair, out of the pit of loneliness, out of the pit of insecurity, out of the pit of depravity. You name the pit, this love, his love pulls you out, and his love gives hope. And then, one more thing. No one, nothing can take this love away. Can't happen. You can't change it. I heard that as a brand new Christian. I mean, that took me a long time to assimilate that. You mean to tell me there is nothing I can do that would change God's love for me? That's right. There's nothing you can do. Because we can change people's love for us, can't we? If we are rebellious, if we're nasty, if we're prickly toward them, the love can change. They may not love us anymore. Or when we're really nice and we give them presents and we do all, then their love can increase. There's nothing I can do that can make God love me more, because he already loves me everlasting, no limit. And there's nothing I can do that will change that and make him love me less. Does that make you secure and very grateful? Romans 8, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? For I am persuaded that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor powers nor things present nor things to come nor height nor depth nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you. I mean, what a wonderful, beautiful Valentine's, and what a very beautiful, wonderful life. It's not just this month. It's not just the 14th. This is every single day that we are loved. We are loved. So ladies, I hope that maybe you're sitting up a little straighter and you're a little more confident tonight, knowing that you are loved by your Heavenly Father. What a great, what an incredible God we have. And so tonight, just meditate on that as Sherry comes back and leads us and ministers to us in music, and we can just express our hearts of worship to the Lord. Father, thank you for your infinite, unconditional, everlasting, never-changing love. And Father, we can hear this a million times and still not grasp the depth of it. And so tonight, Lord, we just thank you, we praise you, and we want to sit before you and lift our hearts of praise to you. We want to commune with you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Amen.